And I'm going to read the whole chapter, and this is God's word. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kebar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Amen. And we'll end the reading there. And we thank God for his word. Check it off. Let's pray for a moment. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you perhaps guess that today we're starting a new series of sermons on the book of Ezekiel, who served the Lord. Ezekiel served the Lord as a prophet during the time of the exile. And so Ezekiel's book, which contains the revelations that he received from the Lord, is part of Old Testament prophecy. So it belongs with the other prophetic books in the Old Testament, books like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Hosea and so on. Perhaps I should explain, in case no one knows, the Old Testament is like a library which contains different kinds of literature. So there are the books of the law, Genesis to Deuteronomy. There are also history books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. We also have books of poetry, the Psalms and the Song of Solomon. There's wisdom literature, so Proverbs, we were reading the Proverbs this morning, and Ecclesiastes, we were studying those Ecclesiastes recently. Then there are the prophets, so from Isaiah all the way to Malachi, and that's what Ezekiel is, it's one of the prophets. And Ezekiel's book contains all these visions and messages which Ezekiel received from the Lord concerning Jerusalem and its destruction during the time of the exile. It also contains visions and messages concerning the nations and God's judgment on them. But then it also contains visions and messages concerning the restoration or renewal of God's people. Though the Lord was angry with his people because of their persistent rebellion and unbelief, he wasn't going to abandon them forever. In fact, God had great things in mind for his people. And he also gave Ezekiel a vision of a new temple where all of God's people, not just from the land of Israel, but from all around the world, will dwell with him forever and forever. And God willing, we'll get to all of that eventually. But this first chapter can be divided into, two main parts. There's the introduction in verses 1 to 3, and then there's Ezekiel's first vision in verses 4 to 28. And in the vision, he saw, first of all, four living beings. Then he saw the wheels of a kind of chariot throne. And then he saw an expanse above the wheels. And then he saw the throne itself. And above the throne, he saw a figure like that of a man. And it turns out that what Ezekiel was seeing in this vision was none other than a revelation of the glory of the Lord, who sits enthroned as king over all. And as we go through the vision, we get the impression that Ezekiel was struggling to describe or to express in words what he was seeing. He says about the things he saw that they looked like this, or they were like that, or they had the appearance of this, or they appeared to be this. He can't quite describe what he saw precisely. All he can say is that it was like this, or it appeared to be like this. He'd never seen anything like this before, but since it turns out in the end that what he was looking at was a revelation of the glory of the Lord, he ended up falling face down before the Lord in fear. And God appeared to him like this because God was appointed him to be his prophet. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to verses 1 to 3 and the introduction to the book. And the NIV begins in the 30th year, but more literally it begins in the Hebrew, it came about in the 30th year. And the little words "it came about" are significant because they make clear that the beginning of this book is not an absolute beginning. This is not the start of something completely new, which has no connection to anything else. Instead, it's the continuation of the ongoing story about God's dealings with his people. So a long time before, the Lord rescued his people from Egypt. He then brought them through the wilderness and into the promised land. He helped them to settle there, and he gave them kings to rule over them. He continued to do them good, even though they rebelled against him. Eventually, he did what he warned them he would do, and he sent them into exile. That's the story so far. And what we're about to read now in the book of Ezekiel is a continuation of that story, which has been going on for hundreds of years, and which is all about God's dealing with his people, Israel. So it came about, after all of these other things, it came about that this now happened. So it's not a completely new story in Ezekiel, but it's a new chapter in this ongoing story of God's dealings with his people. And this new chapter in this ongoing story begins in the 30th year. So the 30th year of what? Well, most likely it's the 30th year of Ezekiel's life. And that too is significant because we're about to learn in verse 3 that Ezekiel was a priest. And while new priests probably began their training when they were in their 20s, they didn't actually begin to serve in the temple in Jerusalem until they were 30 years old. And so throughout his early life, Ezekiel was no doubt waiting for his 30th birthday to come, because that's when he would begin, or that's what he thought anyway, that's when he would begin his life's work. And he'd begin to serve the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem. That's what he had been waiting for, no doubt, throughout his early life. But instead of doing that, he was now living far away from the temple in Jerusalem, and he was living among the exiles by this river in the land of Babylon. So let me remind you of the Old Testament history. God had settled his people in the Promised Land in the days of Joshua. When they asked for a king, he gave them first Saul and then David. David was a great king, and he defeated their enemies and gave them peace in the land. Then Solomon succeeded his father David, and he too was a great king who was famous throughout the world for his wealth and wisdom, which God had given to him. The people lived in peace and prosperity during his reign. But then after his death, the one kingdom of Israel was divided into two. There was the larger kingdom in the north, which kept the name Israel. There was the smaller kingdom in the south, which was known as Judah. And the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was, that was in the southern kingdom of Judah. Lots of different kings ruled in the north, but the south was always ruled over by a descendant of David. Some of the kings in the north and south were good and godly kings, but many, if not most, were wicked. And the people too rebelled against the Lord, and they turned to false gods instead of worshipping the Lord alone. God sent the prophets to warn the people and to summon them to repent, but they wouldn't listen to the prophets. And so after many years of patience, God finally did what he said he would do. He sent the people in the north into exile to Assyria, and he sent the people in the south into exile to Babylon. And that's how Ezekiel ended up among these exiles by this river in Babylon. And as you can see from verse 2, this was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin. When he was king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked and took the city of Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar removed all the treasures from the temple and from the royal palace. And he took away all the gold articles which Solomon had made for the temple. And he also took away the best of the people, the officers and fighting men and the craftsmen and the artisans, as well as the king and his family. He took away all of the best people from the lands so that they would use their skills and talents for the good of Babylon. And Ezekiel was included among their number. Nebuchadnezzar then made Zedekiah king in place of Jehoiachin. And in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar responded by not only attacking Jerusalem this time, but by destroying Jerusalem. He destroyed the city and the temple and the walls around the city. And at the beginning of Ezekiel's book, that hasn't happened yet. So Jerusalem is still standing. It hasn't been destroyed, but it's going to happen soon. For now, though, Ezekiel, he's among these exiles in Babylon, and that's when he received this first vision from the Lord. So although he couldn't serve the Lord as a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, because he'd been taken away from the temple to Babylon, nevertheless, he was going to serve the Lord in a new role. He was going to serve the Lord now as a prophet. And as a prophet, he received this vision from the Lord. It was as if the heavens were opened to him, and he was enabled to see things which no one else could see. In verse 2, he says that the word of the Lord came to him. So the word of the Lord came to him through these visions. And in verse 3, he says that the hand of the Lord was upon him. God, of course, is a spirit, so he doesn't have a body. He doesn't have hands like us. But Ezekiel means he could feel God's presence and power in his life, and God enabled him to see this wonderful vision of the glory of the Lord. And so he tells us in verse 4 that he saw a windstorm coming out of the north and an immense cloud with flashing lightning, and it was surrounded by brilliant light. And this recalls the scene at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 in the days of Moses, when the Lord came down from heaven to the top of the mountain, and there was a thick cloud and there was thunder and lightning and fire. And the similarity between what happened at Mount Sinai and what Ezekiel saw suggests to us that what Ezekiel was seeing was the coming of the Lord. The cloud he saw was the Lord's glory cloud, which signified the presence of the Lord. God was coming to them. Even though they were in exile, God was coming to them now in Babylon. And he says that the center of the fire looked like glowing metal. So I said earlier that he uses this kind of language because he can't express what he saw with precision. So what he saw wasn't glowing metal, but it looked like glowing metal. It looked like molten metal burning in a furnace. It looked like a fiery lava, perhaps, and from a volcano. And then according to verse 5, he saw in the fire what looked like four living creatures. And for now, that's the best way for him, or that's the best way he has to describe them. There were four of them, and they were alive. But what were they? In appearance, their form was that of a man, so they were human-like in appearance. But it's clear that they weren't really human, because each of them had four faces, and they also had four wings. In verse 10, we learn what the four faces were: the face of a human, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. So they're not human. They each had four faces, and then they had four wings. So if they're not human, well, what are they? Well, we'll discover in chapter 10 that these four living creatures are, in fact, cherubim. In other words, they're angels. And according to verse 7, their legs were straight, so they stood upright like us. But then their feet were like the hooves of a calf. And their feet also gleamed like burnished bronze. And under their wings they had hands, like our hands. And it says in verse 9 that their wings touched one another. In verse 11 we'll see that only two of their four wings were spread out, and that they each used the other two wings to cover their bodies. So the four of them were arranged in a kind of square, one at each corner, and each one spread out, you know, two wings to touch the nearest two angels. And Ezekiel says at the end of verse 9 that each one went straight ahead. So they were moving, and nothing caused them to deviate from their path. So they're able to go in a straight direction. According to verse 12, they would go wherever the Spirit would go. Although the NIV puts the word Spirit in small letters, it's likely that Ezekiel is referring here to the Holy Spirit. After all, in the book of Hebrews, we read that angels, and these are angels, angels are ministering spirits sent here, there, and everywhere by God. So they're not free spirits who can go wherever they want, but they're under the authority of God, who directs them by his Spirit. And so Ezekiel is telling us that their movement was determined by God, the Holy Spirit. And in verse 13 he says that their appearance was like burning coals of fire, or like torches, and fire moved back and forth among them. The fire was bright and it flashed like lightning. In fact, he says, the angels themselves sped back and forth like lightning. So Ezekiel's gaze was drawn first to these living creatures, these angels. But then he noticed a wheel beside each angel. So there were four wheels in total. And he says that the wheels sparkled like chrysolite. So they sparkled like a jewel, and or a precious metal, and each wheel was like a wheel within a wheel. Some of the commentators suggest that the wheels are like casters, which a chair might have today, so you can move it in any direction you want. And according to verse 17, the wheels moved in the same direction as the angels. And like the angels, they didn't turn about. So they didn't deviate from their path. And the rims of the wheels were high and awesome and full of eyes. And when Ezekiel says they were full of eyes, he perhaps means that they were studded with jewels, which looked like eyes. And then he saw in verse 19 that when the angels moved, the wheels moved. And when the angels went up, the wheels went up also. So they moved in sync or in harmony with one another. And according to verse 20, the movement of the angels and wheels was again determined by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 21, he once again mentions how they moved in harmony with one another. What's the significance of these wheels? Well, when we get to verse 26, Ezekiel tells us that he saw a throne. And the commentators tell us that thrones in the ancient world were often set on wheels so that they could be moved around. And in fact, in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, Daniel describes the throne of the Ancient of Days. So he's describing God's throne in heaven. And in his description of it, he mentions its wheels. And so it seems that Ezekiel is also describing the throne of God. And under God's throne, there are these wheels, and there are also these angels accompanying the Lord as his attendants. And once again, it's God coming to his people who are in exile. But before we get to the throne itself, Ezekiel tells us in verse 22 that he saw spread out above the heads of the angels what looked like an expanse. So it wasn't an expanse, but that's how it looked to the prophet who's doing his best to express in words what he saw. So perhaps he saw a kind of platform which was as expansive as the sky. And he tells us that this expanse sparkled like ice, and it was awesome. And this kind of matches what we read in Exodus 24, where Moses said that he saw the Lord, Moses saw the Lord, and under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. So Ezekiel says it's like ice. Moses says it's like sapphire. Revelation 4, John says he saw what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal before the throne of God. Each of the descriptions of God's heavenly throne, they're similar to one another. They're all seeing the same thing, but they're describing it in slightly different ways. And in verse 23, Ezekiel mentions the angels stretching out their wings again. But then in verse 24, he tells us not what he saw, but what he heard. When the angels moved, he heard the sound of their wings, which was like the roar of rushing waters. He means it was like the sound of a waterfall, with the water thundering and crashing on the water below. Remember years ago, going with Yvonne through a forest on the side of a mountain in Austria, and long before we could see it, you could hear the thunder of a waterfall, which was further on up the mountainside. And the sound of the wings of the angels was like that mighty waterfall thundering. Indeed, he says it was like the voice of the Almighty, and it was also like the tumult of an army. But then when the angels stood still, they lowered their wings, and presumably now that they were no longer beating their wings, there was silence all around. And so Ezekiel has seen these four living creatures, or these angels, with their four faces, their four wings. He noticed the four wheels beside each of the angels. Then he noticed the great expanse above the angels. He also heard the sound of the wings of the angels, the noise like thunder. And when they lowered their wings, there was silence. And then Ezekiel heard something else. According to verse 25, there came a voice from above the expanse, which was over the angels. He doesn't say who it was who spoke and what this speaker said, but now that the angels have lowered their wings and become silent, Ezekiel is ready to look above the angels and above the expanse to the throne above. And so according to verse 26, he looked above the expanse, and there he saw what looked like a throne of sapphire. Again, he's not exactly sure how to describe what he saw. He's never seen anything like this before. It appeared to be, and it looked like a throne made of sapphire. And then above the throne, so not actually on the throne, but above the throne, he saw this figure like that of a man. So not a man, but a figure or person who looked like a man. And Ezekiel says that he saw from what appeared to be his waist up, though it's, again, it's hard to describe, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. So his top half was, again, like molten metal, lava from a volcano, hot and burning, gleaming and frightening. And then his bottom half looked like fire. Don't really know what the difference is between glowing metal full of fire and then fire down below. But again, Ezekiel's struggling to convey with words what he saw. And he said that brilliant light surrounded this figure. So there's a bright light. You can't look at it. It's like trying to look at the sun and to describe what you saw. It's too hard, it's too painful, too dangerous. But it seems to Ezekiel that this brilliant light around him was like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, which of course gleams in the sun, and it's multicolored and it's wonderful. And so what was Ezekiel looking at? What was he seeing in this vision? Well, angels, wheels, an expanse, a throne, and what else? He tells us in the middle of verse 28 that what he was looking at was, and this is remarkable, what he was looking at was the glory of the Lord. But the glory of the Lord is so hard to describe that he says that this is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He's tried his best to convey to us what the glory of the Lord was like, but all he's managed to do is to give us an impression of what it appeared to be like. And what it appeared to be like was glowing metal filled with fire and more fire and a brilliant light that radiated like a rainbow in the sky. And in this way, the Lord God Almighty revealed himself to Ezekiel in invisible form. Again, God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body like ours, and he's invisible. But the Lord revealed himself to Ezekiel by taking the form of a man, an odd-looking man. But the form he took wasn't of an ordinary man, but a man glowing with melting metal and molten metal and fire and light. Some of the commentators say that this was a vision of the pre-incarnate Son of God. So before the Son of God came to earth as one of us, he appeared to Ezekiel in this form. I'm not so sure we can be so specific. And I'm happy to say that this was the glory of our triune God in visible form. He was making himself appear in this form so that Ezekiel could see him. In any case, whenever Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord, he fell down, face down in fear, and the Lord began to speak to him. And we'll have to wait until next week to hear what the Lord said to him. But what can we learn from this chapter? What lessons are there for us to learn from it? Because it's a strange chapter. There's not much like it in the Bible. Well, we could think about God's kindness to Ezekiel, who had expected to serve God in the temple in Jerusalem, but that privilege was taken from him when he was taken away into exile. And yet God had something even better in store for Ezekiel, because by means of this vision, Ezekiel was in a sense taken up to heaven and into the very presence of God. The temple in Jerusalem was an earthly copy of the real heavenly temple. And God didn't take Ezekiel into the earthly copy, but into the heavenly reality, where he saw the glory of the Lord who sits as king over all. And so we can think about God's kindness to Ezekiel, because very few other people in Old Testament times were able to see what Ezekiel saw. Moses saw something similar, so did Isaiah the prophet, but there weren't many others. And so we could think about God's kindness to Ezekiel, giving him this wonderful vision of God's glory. But let's instead think about God's kindness to us and to all of his people, because God has promised his believing people that the day will come when all of us will come into the presence of God as Ezekiel did. We'll come before the Lord our God. We'll dwell with him forever and forever. So Ezekiel, he stood before the Lord briefly, but we'll stand before him forever. And so in Revelation 7, we have John's vision of heaven right now, and that great multitude of people from every nation and tribe and people and language standing before the throne of God and in front of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. And they're wearing white robes to signify how the guilt of God's people is washed away by the death of Christ, who shed his blood to cleanse us. And so, having been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, God's people are able to come before God's presence in heaven without fear. When Ezekiel saw the Lord, he fell face down in fear. But the saints in heaven are not afraid because their sin and guilt has been washed away by the death of Christ, and they have peace with God forever. And John tells us that in heaven, God wipes away the tears of his people and will drink from the springs of living water and will live forever. That's John's vision of heaven right now, and that's where the souls of believers who have died have gone. That's where you will go when you die, so long as you're trusting in Christ the Savior, who died to bring us to God. And then in Revelation 21 and 22, we have John's vision of the new and better Jerusalem, which is the church of Jesus Christ in the new heavens and earth. So John 7, it's heaven right now. Revelation 21 and 22, it's after the resurrection. And there, all of God's people, there in the new heavens and earth, all of God's people will live with the Lord forever and forever. And John tells us that the glory of the Lord will give us light. So that the brilliance of his light will lighten up this new Jerusalem and will live in God's presence and in his glory forever and forever. And in Revelation 22, it says that the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the heavenly city. So we'll see this throne with its wheels. And it says we'll serve him. And then it says in Revelation 20, we will see his face. Ezekiel doesn't say that he saw the face of God. He said he saw a figure that looked like a man, and he saw what appeared to be glowing metal and fire and a brilliant light and a rainbow. But he doesn't say that he saw God's face. But that's what God has in store for us and for all of his people. We will see him, and we will know him face to face, personally. But how can we see God's face when God is invisible? Well, we'll see God's face because we'll see the human face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in seeing his face, we'll see the glory of God, because Jesus Christ, our Savior, is God. He is light from light. He is true God from true God. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity who became one of us. And he was exalted to heaven as one of us. And we will see him. And in seeing him, we'll see the glory of God. And you see, this is what we were made for. This is our ultimate destiny. We were made for God. We were made to dwell in the house of the Lord, where we will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, as the psalmist says. And so when we come into his presence and we'll see him face to face like this, then we'll be happy forever, because this is what we were made to do. This is what the tree of life in the Garden of Eden signified, eternal life in the presence of God, where we will be with him and where we will see him. And just as we experience pleasure now in this life when we gaze at a beautiful landscape or a painting or someone we love, so we'll experience pleasure and joy and happiness forever when we gaze on the glory of God in the face of Christ our Savior. And while there's nothing in this life which can satisfy us perfectly, yet we'll be perfectly satisfied in the presence of God in the life to come when we see the glory of God in the face of Christ our Savior. Ezekiel was allowed to see the glory of God for a little while in a vision, but with all of God's people, we will see the glory of God forever and forever in the new and better world to come, where we'll live with God forever and forever. And the reason we'll be there is because of the kindness of God to us in Christ Jesus, because the Lord Jesus paid for our sins with his life to reconcile us to God, so that we can come before God's presence without fear of his wrath or curse. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, so we will be raised from the dead to live forever in the presence of our great and glorious God. And we'll never have to leave. And yet it's not all about the future, is it? Yes, in the life to come, we'll gaze on the beauty of the Lord forever. But in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, Paul the Apostle tells us that God displays his glory to his people in this life, whenever the gospel of Christ is proclaimed. Whenever the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, believers see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Sunday by Sunday, as the gospel of Christ our Saviour is proclaimed, God reveals his glory to us. Not in a visible way, but we see it by faith. And we learn about it by faith, and we grasp it by faith. And as we grasp it by faith, we're transformed by it. We're transformed by it into God's likeness. And he fills our hearts with joy and gladness because of his love to us in Christ Jesus and because of the hope he has given to us and to all of his people of one day seeing God forever in glory in the face of Christ our Saviour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your kindness to Ezekiel, that he was able to see this vision, this revelation of the appearance of your glory. But we thank you, Lord God, because you have promised that we will all see your glory in the face of Christ in the new heavens and earth, when we'll come into your presence and we'll never have to leave, but we'll be able to gaze upon your glory forever and forever. And there, gazing upon your beauty, we'll be doing what we were made to do, and we'll be happy forever. And we thank you too, Lord God, that here in church on Sundays, as the gospel is proclaimed, that you reveal your glory to us. And so, Lord God, we ask that as we sit under the sound of the gospel week by week, that you would use your gospel message to transform us into your likeness, that more and more in our lives we would reflect the glory of eternity to come. So will you hear and answer us, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.